And today, as you see on the screen there, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And the name of the sermon is Clothes Make the Man. You could put woman there too, okay? But not the way you might think. Colossians 3, 1 to 15. How many of you have read this book before? The Emperor's New Clothes. Sometime when you were a kid, right? All right, some of you are like, what is that book? I've never heard of it. just in case, The Emperor's New Clothes is a short tale written by Danish author Hans Christian Andersen about two weavers who promise an emperor a new set of clothes, right? And they tell him that it's invisible. The clothes are invisible, and only the people that if they don't see any clothes, they are unfit for their position. They are stupid. They are incompetent. And when the emperor parades before his subjects in his new clothes, right? And that person is, they have probably, you know, the undergarments that you would wear before you put on the robes, okay? And modesty is here, okay, at this church. And so, but again, no one dares to say anything because they don't want to be called unfit for their position. They don't want to be called stupid. Nobody wants that. And they don't want to be called incompetent, right? And so in the midst of all this, finally a child cries out, right? But he isn't wearing anything at all. And then this, again, he's still wearing his undergarments, okay? But there is this realization that, again, he was totally fooled. He even fooled himself. He was the most deceived of all. You know, we are to clothe ourselves with the character of Christ. Do me a favor, click on that one more time. Thank you. We are to clothe ourselves with the character of Christ. And many times we miss what we're really clothed with. We're ignorant of our own bad decisions because we have bought a lie like the lie in Hans Christian Andersen's short story. And today I felt the Lord lead me to Colossians chapter 3 concerning this topic of clothing yourself with Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died and your life is now hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatsoever belongs to," he says it this way, "put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these ways, in this you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not a Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all. And since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, forgiving anyone who offends you." That's a hard one, isn't it? "Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. for the members of one body, you are called to live in peace. My first question for you this morning is, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Clothing ourselves is really about what comes out of your mouth and what comes in your mind. This Wednesday, Commander Tim and I were talking to our adventure rangers about thoughts. How birds fly over your head, but you don't let them nest in your hair. My question to you today is, what are you allowing to rest or nest in your hair? Is it gossip? Is it slander against someone else? Is it obscene talk? Are you lying to others? Is your mind set on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? Are you putting to death your sinful nature? When we get hurt, we begin to try and build allies. We try to get other people on board our plan. We're rallying troops, but for what gain? Pain begets more pain. In the book of James, James, the half-brother of Jesus, says that sin, when it's fully developed, gives birth to death. It gives birth to a stillborn. There's tragedy. Think about mothers that have actually had to give birth to a stillborn. They actually had to go through the 9 months of pregnancy. And the baby comes out and the baby's a stillborn. There's depression with that. It's tragic. It brings separation many times. Well, just likened unto that, there is this place where we can be separated by God in the midst of pain. That sin, if you allow it to grow and grow and grow, there's death that's birthed. And that death separates us from the living God. Are you aware of your sin? That's my second question. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, writes, "The right direction leads not only to peace, but to knowledge. When a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that's still left in him." Why? Because our conscience is soft, right? We become more pliable. "But when a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less. A moderately bad man knows he's not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he is all right." And this is kind of common sense, isn't it? You understand sleep when you're awake, not while you're sleeping. You can see mistakes in arithmetic when your mind is properly working, but while you're making them, you can't see them. You know, sometimes I write things and I have like Natalie or just another person, a second set of eyes, look over things. And they go, "Well, this is missing," or "You could do this." And I'm like, "What? I thought it was great." You know, and there are times where you're writing something and you think, "I don't have any mistakes in there," until you give it to a second set of eyes, right? And then they go, "Oh, you misspelled this." And you know, you could have said, "There's probably a comma that needs to be there." We need a second set of eyes. We need an editor, if you will, that can actually step in. But a lot of times, in the midst of us going down a bad path, it starts getting darker and darker. And we start getting more and more unaware. Good people know about good and evil. Bad people don't know about either, C.S. Lewis writes. And just like the emperor that became so convinced he had beautiful emperor robes on, it took the simplicity of a child and the boldness of a child to say, "You're completely wrong. You're completely wrong." In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John confronts a whole church in Laodicea. And they were living in the wealthiest city in Phrygia during Roman times. It was widely known of its banking establishments, its medical school, in textile industry. They were rich in the man, in man's eyes. They were fully clothed with beautiful garments from their textile industry. But John, to the church of Laodicea, in Revelation 3 says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." And then he goes on, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and eat with him, and he with me." Discipline isn't fun. It's not fun to hear, "I'm wrong." It's not fun to hear that I've been going in the wrong direction, but we need it. And the Lord says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." So be zealous. Just get excited, right? No, right? It says, so be zealous and do what? Repent. And repent. And repent. He says, I wanna sup with you. I wanna have that closeness with you. But you gotta, not just in a moment, but you gotta turn direction and start going this way. And I'm knocking. I want it to take place. I want it to happen. The Apostle John says, "You think you have everything you need, but you are spiritually blind, wretched, pitiable, and spiritually naked. Allow me to discipline you in the fires of godly discipline." That's what he means when we look back at this passage here, and he's saying, gold refined by fire. He's saying, you're going to have to go through some adversity. You're going to have to go through some where it's burning and it hurts and it's not easy. But this is where you grow. Either you grow or you die. Which one are you going to do? Which one? And this is something to remember in that same vein. When you and I die, we're going to go into the ground taking nothing with us. Job 1:21 says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." It says, man, I came in with nothing, and I'm going to go out with nothing. So, what do we have to lose? Really? I mean, stuff is just stuff. This is eternal. This is eternal. Our soul is eternal. Our passage in Colossians really asks you to examine yourself. Paul says, don't just see your problems and your need. Ask for God's help to do what? To put the garbage out. To put the garbage out. Put to death whatsoever belongs to your earthly nature. It is a decisive act and a settled attitude. Notice, we just looked at the text. Paul states five things. He says sexual immorality, impurity, passions or lusts, evil desire, and covetousness. It's a movement from the outward manifestations to the inner springs. I think it's more dangerous when, as C.S. Lewis points out, when you think you're fine, or what's worse, when you're completely in the right and your offender is completely in the wrong. Christianity is not just what we do, The focus is what we take action on. What's the application to this sermon? Set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? How do I do that? Well, we throw away the old and we put on the new. All right, I love my mom, but I remember for years her closet had all these dresses from the 60s and the 70s. She kept them around. There was this feeling of nostalgia with these dresses. My dad had long hair when they were married in the 70s, and my mom is the one that likes to keep things. My dad likes to throw things out, so it works good. They're a good couple. They're a good couple. She sometimes will try to hide things from him to throw out, right? I remember our kind of side hallway would always get cluttered to the point where my dad would go, ah! They just did stuff out. And then it would be uncluttered for a little while, then you know, kind of that repetition. But symbolically, many of us don't like to throw our old sins away. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to pry into some juicy news. But is that biblical? No way. It's part of your sinful nature, and you have to put it to death. And I would say, for some, you have to put it to death daily. Put away anger, wrath, malice, and abusive speech. And when we say put it away, it's not so you can take it out later when you really want to get someone. You throw it away. It's not part of your ensemble anymore. It's not the thing you wear anymore. Why at Teen Challenge do the leaders encourage the guys to not wear the same clothes and go back to the same places? Because it's more than clothes. You're spiritually putting back on the same junk and then falling into the same behavior and the same heart intentions that took you down in the wrong path in the first place. And the Lord's saying, don't put that stuff back on. Don't go back to those same places. A lifestyle of sin leads to God's judgment. Hell is for real. And it's a burning place. And it's a place that's torturous. And it's a place that's far from God. And we should be in a place where there is some trembling when we think about being apart from God. Because God's wrath is real. And He will pour it out. Don't abuse grace. Don't misuse God's mercy. Paul is showing us how to behave in contrast to our pagan past. Discard your old repulsive habits. And like weeds, when they start coming up again, pull them at the root. Pull them at the root. Have you ever tried to doctor up your old habits? Foster them in the church? How can I pray for you? They did what to you? Tell me all about it. Some battles are not for you to get into. It's not your business. It's not your business. We don't need busybodies in the church. We need Christians about the Lord's business. Discard your improper speech like worn out clothes. And then put on the new. We've got new clothes, guys. And it's like if the Lord went out and bought you a whole new wardrobe. Pick whatever clothes you want. Money is not a thing. You want those Nikes? Go get them, right? You want those, again, that nice blouse? You want that beautiful dress? Go get it. And your father buys you all this stuff, and then you keep on wearing the worn out, tattered garments. And he said, look what I got for you. I've got these beautiful things that I went to the store, and I paid that price. You didn't have to pay it. I paid it. Didn't cost you a dime. All I want you to do is wear it. Put it on. And we go, no, no, no. You know, gossip is better. I get people on board with me. People sympathize and then people do things for me. Really? Really? We've got new clothes, compassion, kindness, humility. I'm going to go back to the screen here for a second. Might be a little bit too much moving here. But look, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. If one has a complaint against one another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgave you. Man, that's hard. But how do we do it? We put on the greatest garment, love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We're called to promote the peace of Christ. So if you're stirring up trouble and causing drama, you're not putting on these new clothes. And the root of it is unforgiveness. And the root of it is clothing yourselves with worn out old clothes. Unrepented sin just spreads to others like an infection, like gangrene, and it's wrong. Proverbs 18:8 says this, "Rumors are dainty morsels that seep deep into one's hearts." Our lives are to be different because of Christ. Our interests are to be on Christ. Our minds, our aims, our ambitions. In fact, our whole lives are to be centered on that heavenly realm where He reigns. And this is where our lives belong, truly. Have you ever heard frequent sayings that Christians say? I think even my grandmother said this. Lord rest her soul. Cleanliness is close to what? Godliness. Man, you can quote it better than Scripture. Cleanliness is close to godliness. You know that is not Scripture, right? In fact, Sir Francis Bacon stated it back in the 1600s. It's old news, guys. But John Wesley quoted it in his sermon in the 1800s. And it sounded so good, we're like, wow, if my son hasn't taken a shower for a week, cleanliness is close to God. Clean up that room, right? Pick up those clothes. Take a shower, you stink, right? Like, it just sounds really good. But guess what? Jesus said, what do the Pharisees do? They clean the outside of the cup. This looks really good, right? But he says, inside, it was full of dead man's bones. So you can be clean on the outside and look really good and have it seemingly all together, but that doesn't mean you're godly. It's not close to godliness. In fact, if you're comparing those Pharisees and what they look like and the persona that they tried to put on and the reality of what it was such a stark difference. It was night and day. Cleanliness is not close to godliness. Another thing, a common saying, in fact, Johnny Cash, hey, I love him, okay? But Johnny Cash wrote a song, and in his song he said, if you're so heavenly minded, right, you're what? No earthly good. Some people are like, I know it, but I'm not going to say it, Pastor John, you already got on me for knowing the other one better. No, but so you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Right? That sounds really good. Johnny Cash made a song on it. He probably sold 1,000 or 1,000,000 records on that. Right? It's Johnny Cash. That goes directly against the scripture right here. He said, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your heart on things above. Not unearthly things, for you have died and your life is now hid with Christ in God. That garment's over you and you're hid with Christ in God. I used this illustration recently, but I like Lord of the Rings. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. And in Lord of the Rings, Sam and Frodo are at Mount Doom, and they fall, and they can't get out of these rocks, and the enemy's about to approach, but they have this garment that's an elven cloak, and they throw it over them, and suddenly, instead of looking like they're in the rock, it just looks like all the other rocks, and they pass by. And I share that with you today because the Lord wants to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And if you will clothe yourself with compassion, if you will clothe yourself with love, if you will forgive as the Lord forgave you, He will hide you like in the cleft of the rock. He will work on your behalf. He'll help you. But it is when we clothe ourselves in Him. When we throw that garment, that precious garment, that precious gift that He gave to us, it protects us. It protects us. Today, I want us to take a time. We're going to be moving into communion. And I want you to think about examining yourself. Examining yourself. C.S. Lewis says that the greatest sin is pride. Pride always means enmity. And not only enmity between man and man, but enmity between you and God. He says the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began stems from pride. Humble yourself. Lower your pride. Think about it. In this past week, as the worship team comes forward, think about it in this past week. Examine yourselves. This week, have you slandered someone? Have you not even meaning to gossiped about someone? Were you asked about somebody's business that you shouldn't be? Have you clothed yourself with the old junk? This is a time, guys, where when we're getting before the Lord, and we're going to hit the lights, but we're going to do that even right now. And part of that is so that you're not distracted by somebody on your right or your left. This is about making an examination of your own heart. It's not about what somebody else sin did, who what they did to you, what kind of hurts somebody else attacked you with. This is about examining yourself. In the end, when you go into the ground and I go into the ground, it's not going to be about me and the other person that hurt me. Naked I came into this world. Naked I'm going. And I'm going to face my Creator. I'm going to have no one else to blame. I'm going to have no one else that I can point the finger at. The only one I can point the finger to is a holy God that loves me but disciplines me. Have you clothed yourself with kindness, with compassion, with love? My encouragement, they're going to be switching on to the worship in just a moment. This message is short, but it's short and powerful. What are you clothed with? You know, we as Pentecostals, sometimes we are in this place where, you know, we love to hear a fresh word from God, don't we? I want a fresh word from God. Well, guess what? This is a fresh word from God. I was in my series. I was preparing for my series. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's in that preparation, isn't He? Amen? He's in that preparation. That's when you hear from the Holy Spirit and you begin diving into His Word and again, preparing His Word. But as I was doing that, the Lord told me, this is what I want you to preach on. We want a now word, but we need to examine ourselves. Would you just take that moment? Would you bow your heads? And would you begin to examine yourself?